Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the Christian, time is a vital, non-renewable resource. Like a coin, it can only be spent once. Why not invest the next 15 minutes learning how to best use your time? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're now in a four-part series on stewardship, which we're calling The Joy of Generosity. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a message on Christ, the Lord of our time. Turn with us to Ephesians 5:16.
Redeem the time because the days are evil. Time must be seized. It must be bought out of that 24-hour period. Let me answer a couple of questions. What do we buy the time out of? Well, I've already hinted. All the other demands that are put upon us. And we live in a society where never before have we had so many options. Never before have there been so many opportunities to waste time. They're all around us. There's television, there's videos. Some good friends of ours from Moody Church lent to my children over the Christmas holidays a game called Nintendo. Have you ever heard of that? And I played it a couple of times, and I thought, you know, a guy could actually get hooked on this nonsense. There are all kinds of things that there are in existence today that can waste our time. Even things that aren't bad, but they just do not have any long-term eternal consequences. And I want you to know today that all of these demands that we so easily say yes to can squeeze out of us every drop of spiritual life until our entire life is being taken up by other demands which we are constantly saying yes to. And when Paul wrote this passage of Scripture, he says, "Buy the time out of all of these things that will not last forever. Seize the time." You say, well, how much does it cost? If the word redeem means that a price needs to be paid, how much does it cost to redeem the time? Well, it costs plenty, because every time you say yes to something good, you are saying no to something that really is second rate. Every time you say yes to 1/2 hour of Bible reading, you're saying no to 100 different options that could press upon your soul. Every time you're saying yes to the Lord and say, God, I am going to pray and commit myself to you, and I'm going to let my heart be refreshed in your presence, you need to say no to all those other demands and to all those other options. You see, that's why the Bible says redeem the time, take the time, make the time. Beneath my very calm exterior, sometimes I have within myself a restlessness, a sense of anxiety. I think probably all pastors do. Maybe that's just the way God wired us. When I'm here at the office, and by the way, some of you think possibly that I spend my whole week studying. I want you to know that that is one of the lesser things that is actually scheduled into my regular program, simply because of the counseling and the letters and the administration. And I'm not complaining. That's my responsibility, and I enjoy what I'm doing. But Friday afternoon, I knew that the whole afternoon was going to be just taken up with a lot of little things that need to be done for the weekend. And one of the members of the staff said to me, he said, let's just get out of here for an hour. So we left, and we took some books with us, and we went across the street to the Historical Society, went up to the library there, and spent an hour and 15 minutes just reading. I'm reading a book on the Puritans, incredibly interesting book. And what a delight it was to just leave everything behind for an hour and 15 minutes and go to read. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what the text is talking about when it says redeem the time. There are times when you just got to say no to it all and say, I've got to do what really, really matters, and just do it. And I say to you today, pursue God. Just do it. Do it. You see, we have this idea somehow that if we're going to be godly, there's going to be time to be godly. And after we've done everything else, then God gets the end of the bargain, and that's sufficient for the Almighty, we think to ourselves, that somehow our disciplines of godliness are going to fall in line all by themselves. What a foolish notion. We organize to be successful. We organize to get things done. We need to organize if we want to know God, because it takes time. It takes time. I told you I liked the word circumspectly. It means to walk very, very carefully. That's what he says in verse 15, redeeming the time. The best illustration is think of some cities in the world in which they have huge walls that are built up around compounds and homes. And these are concrete walls built for security. I remember seeing them in Mexico and in Central America. And on top of these walls, which are filled with, that are made of concrete, they have broken bits of glass that were put into the concrete, so that when you walk up, sometimes just the whole top of the wall is nothing but broken bottles. It's to discourage people from going over. What's interesting is to see a cat walking along the top of the wall, picking every step very, very carefully. That's the image of walking circumspectly, as the Apostle Paul says. Because I want you to know there's broken glass all over the place. There are all kinds of things that lead us into sins and temptations and that draw us away from God. There are 1,000 voices clamoring for our attention, saying no, no, no to the disciplines of godliness and holiness. And if we listen to those voices, we soon find that we are spending our time on things that will not last. Redeem the time. Just take it, even out of special moments, and use it for God. That's the first command. The second command, I want you to turn to the book of Romans. Romans is just to the left of Ephesians. There's Corinthians in there also, of course, but Romans chapter 13, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul says that we should not only redeem the time, but he said we should understand the times. Understand our times. Are you a student of our times? I hope you are. It says in verse 11, "And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. And our world is filled, drowning, choking in sensuality. Not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." In the imagery here, what Paul is doing is he is comparing the return of Christ to the day. And he's saying, in effect, that we are living in the night and we must recognize that the day is coming, our redemption is drawing near. And because our redemption is drawing near, it is time for us to wake up and to realize that we are in a battle for daylight kind of living, namely purity. So the first thing he says is, knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep. He's saying to the people, wake up, wake up. Don't you see what is happening in today's world? Don't you understand that we are in serious spiritual need? And I'd like to just share that with you this morning. Do you realize that we are in serious spiritual need? And I don't mean simply our nation. I don't mean the city of Chicago or the United States of America. I mean even we here at the church. We are in great spiritual need. There are marriages that struggle with all kinds of friction and difficulty. There are children who are struggling with temptations. There are homes that are being torn apart. There are people who are going through emotional turmoil. And there are many who are living in carnality and finding it satisfying with no heart whatever for God. We need to wake up. God's alarm is ringing. And how many times does it have to ring before we say yes? Wake up. Secondly, he says, dress up. He says, this is the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. He says, let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He says, get dressed for the battle. Don't you know? We don't have forever. We don't have forever. And I want you to know, by the way, that we do not have forever. We don't have forever. Jesus chided the religious leaders of his day for being able to anticipate the weather and knowing what a red sky in the evening would mean the next day. He says, but you don't have any sense of the times. You don't understand the times. And could I say as a parenthesis, what incredible times, what incredible times we live in today. You know that John and Joy Hayward, not sure if they're with us this morning, but they have been worshiping here, missionaries of ours in France. They were telling us about what's happening in Europe. You can get a little card, it's like our credit card, and you can use that card at toll booths, you can use it to make telephone calls, you can use it to make purchases in stores, in grocery stores, all over. This can be your card that takes care of all your financial transactions. And when they showed it to us, I said, now this card is very important. What if you lost it? Well, that would be very serious. What is the next step? Well, the next step is to tattoo the number either on your head or your hand so that you wouldn't be able to lose it.
Don't we live in interesting times? Certainly when we think of the technological revolution, it has indeed changed society. But you know what I love? I love the fact that even though times change, the gospel doesn't. And human beings still need to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. That's why it's so important for us here at Running to Win to be able to be transparent in the sense that even though culture is important, the gospel is most important. And we can share that word with so many because of people like you. I want to thank you in advance for becoming an endurance partner. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what's an endurance partner? They are people who stand with us regularly with their gifts and their prayers. Would you join us? Here's what you do. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or you can call us and I'll give you the phone number in just a moment. To remind you that as a result of you holding our hands, the ministry of Running to Win is in 17 different countries today. That phone number is 1-800-215-5001. Together we are making a difference and we are faithful with God's help all the way to the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer is in a series on the stewardship of our time, talents, resources, and affections. On our next Running to Win, he'll conclude this first message on Christ, the Lord of our time. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, mention the series on The Joy of Generosity. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.